You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
We will begin, I think we'll begin in the order of that I have here with Neetu, is that right? Neetu Chowdhury, who is an independent consultant based in India, who specializes in policy analysis and project implementation. And her case study is based around her work on street traders in two Indian cities. So Neetu, let's start with you.
Thank you, Dr. Richard. Right. Am I audible? Yeah? Okay. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers and partners for having me here. And I also like to acknowledge the project from which the research has been extracted, the Project Support Program for Urban Reform, funded by the DFID, DFID, in the eastern state of Bihar in India. This research, what I'm going to present, is not a planned paper on social and solidarity economy. As I was a part of the project implementation team, the pilot project to organize street trades in two urban areas of the state of Bihar in India, it was through the process of trial and error, learning and doing, and during the process of implementation of the pilot initiative, through which I came to realize that social and solidarity economy could be an appropriate framework to deal with the sector. So it is a continuous process of over 2-3 years, on the basis of which I have arrived at the observation that SSC has a potential for the sector, but it has an equal or greater number of challenges in operationalizing the same. Okay, first of all, why it's important to look at an informal street trade? Well, for a long time, it was the opinion about the informal sector itself that it is a temporary, trivial process, trivial activity occurred during the transition phases in countries post neoliberalism. However, over the years, we have been saying the informal sector, including the street trade sector, has been persisting. It has been scaling up. And it has not been stagnant either. It is dynamic and growing and catering to various diverse groups of consumers and diverse consumer demands. Why still, despite growing in scale and in terms of its dynamics, scale and deepening in terms of demand outreach, the sector still continues to be long excluded from formal policy framework, has been deprived of institutional support, and you easily despised by, victimized by the local administration. So why is that the sector we cannot do without is still not being accommodated by the formal systems of our economy? So this is why it's important to look at the sector. So some of the central questions that I would be looking at is the sector only a victim of political apathy, lack of administrative will, and unperceptive urban planning? Also, I would like to hear is lack of finance or resources with local body is also a critical issue. So is it because of political apathy as well as inadequacy of resources because of which the local government or the larger policy framework is not able to accommodate the sector, or there is more to it as an issue which is more than poverty and livelihood? So, and if not, what is the reason that wherever we have interventions to organize the trade, it has never given the expected results? Including in India and in anywhere else in the developing world, most of the places, there have been sporadic attempts, isolated attempts to organize traders, but somehow they have not brought desired result. So what could be the reason behind it? So is that there's a problem in approach? So does the social and solidarity economy provide an option? And if so, then what are the associated challenges? These are the few things that I'll be looking at during the presentation. So first of all, why I thought about SSC while looking at the challenges and while working with the sector. First is that SSC is an expanded form, expanded notion of economy, which has a political character to it. As such, it stresses upon democratic participation, voices of different groups, and resilience, capability expansion, and as such, offers some space to accommodate the volatility, accommodate the resilience that the street trade sector requires to sustain income, given the unfavorable policy and local environment. Now, there are experiences on cooperative approach. There was ILO's Syndicate program in South Africa, which was earlier started in East Africa, but in South Africa it didn't work. So it has been not working. So what difference then SSC would make when we already have experiments which focus on cooperative approach but have failed to work? So, okay, these are the certain issues which I would be looking at. And just to brief you about this research was was carried out along with initiative to organize street trade in pilot town on pilot basis in two towns of the state of Bihar, India. So it is an experiential account based on direct observation as we moved with the project implementation and the challenges came. What were the challenges? Where was the cooperation and where were the resistance? So this was the this continued for over 2 years, and on the basis of that I present the case for SSC and as well as the challenges. So when I first I look at why I think that there could be SSC has a potential for this sector. So there are two aspects I would look at. One is political macroeconomy of the trade. Second, I would be looking at is the stakeholders' dynamics. So there are two different circumstances at a broader level, at a grassroots level, which build a case for social and solidarity economy approach in SSC. Okay, one is the voice and agency of street trades. First of all, whether we recognize it or not, solidarity is the foundation of the sector. This has, despite all the forces that have been used against it, it is surviving, it is growing whenever there is a threat, they have come out with solidarity to ward off that threat. So it is the foundation, very foundation of the activity. Secondly, the sector over the years, it has been for long was working in isolation. Over last decade, it has been increasingly organized. There are greater number of, in India, we have the National Alliance of Street Traders, which has over 3 lakh street traders. And in the state itself, we have 11,000 members, street traders, who are affiliated to some of the other organizations. So their advocacy activities have been increasing considerably over last decade or so. So is this political character, they have also got a political clout, a voice, which cannot be taken care of by giving them, you know, certain resources or certain kind of social transfers. They need political assertion. They have already assumed this. So this political character can be incorporated by the SSC framework. So, and this character, the state cannot afford to bypass it. Because of this assertion over the years, the various policies at the national state level have been enacted in demands of the street traders organizations and associations. So they have assumed so much of influence that the state had to respond in terms of policy recognition. Also, at micro level process, to ward off any attempt to trivialize when it comes to the issues of land, they still need to exercise their voice, their agency. So to accommodate this particular aspect of the street sector, SSC appears to have a potential. Okay, then there is a growing urban crisis in terms of, because land has competitive uses, there is extreme pressure. So there is an urgent need to counter the stress crisis, I would say, in context of India, and particularly in context of this state where I'm talking about. And there is no very proactive or innovative state policy or strategy to reconcile. So so in wake of that kind of indifference or absence of proactiveness on the part of state, It is probably if we could motivate the solidarity on the part of those stakeholders that it is possible to manage the crisis, to mitigate the crisis. So one of the thing is that public land, you know, civic land, which is the main focal point of urban infrastructure crisis, is a public good, and as such, it suffers from treasury of commons. So giving some right to the traders can actually lead to improved management of urban space. So SSC has this framework to engage with traders' right to public space and promote sense of ownership. So also traders, as a part of this framework, may be in a better position to bargain with vis-a-vis other claims on the civic land. Okay, so there are two broader aspects of the macroeconomy. One is the urban land use approach of the state, and the other was the voice and agency of traders. Now there are a few grassroots circumstances that also build a case for social and solidarity economy approach to informal sector. One is grassroots bureaucracy. Among informal sector, informal street trade is the unique by its constant and intense interface with all the stakeholders, greatest interaction with all the stakeholders in the civic life. So as far as the local bureaucracy is concerned, there is always a kind of tacit and informal equilibrium of relationship going on, where one is on the grounds of institutional handicap or other issues, you know, there is a very sporadic regulation and tacit alliance of the activity of street traders. Now these kind of balance, there is a kind of this equilibrium of peaceful coexistence kinds of resist any kind of formal intervention that is made to organize the sector. So to really organize the sector and to mainstream them, it is important to counter that particular informal balance of power or agreement between the two parties. That is possible only if this comes from the street traders rather than being imposed from outside. So from that approach, again, SSC approach has the possibility. Same is with the local police. They are into rent seeking. So even if there are large scale efforts to organize the sector, they will do, you know, at the ground, they do the rent-seeking activities, they indulge in that, so that the whole process of change, the vendors, the traders, they prefer shortcuts, paying bribes and continuing with their business, and the local police does the easy job of getting paid by them and allowing them to do the business as the way they have been doing. Okay, then there are local elected representatives. So what happens in local body, we have there are urban areas are divided into wards, we have ward councillor, and the structure of the project. These are the experiences on the project which I am discussing vis-a-vis in relation to the SSC. So the local representatives have still, you know, feudalistic tendencies within them. They are not able to practice democracy, even though they come through a process of election. So when the moment they come into power, they want to affect the process of reform, the process of change to benefit their own loyalties. And as far as this particular project was concerned, they constantly interfered to, you know, derail the process unless some provision was met for their kith and kin. So the administration, you know, it is administratively limiting to come to the ground to and look into each these smaller nuisances. So it is in the hands of probably the stakeholders themselves who can counter such feudalistic interferences that derail the democratic processes despite, you know, a formal democratic structure of the overall scheme. So this is what I summarize as grassroots circumstances of SEC. So what I have already discussed, one is that for any such move towards this sector, which is very heterogeneous, volatile, uncontrolled, unregulated, voluntary appreciation of norms is possible only if it comes from the intervention is comes from them. They have the conviction, they lead the process. So SEC has the framework to give centrality to the traders and allow them to use their autonomy to use the required autonomy to to carry on with the process in an organized manner, or given the framework that, and SSE also has a value alignment in terms of voice, inclusiveness, democracy that the sector requires to be organized. Okay, but so there are several challenges, obviously, in operationalizing the SSE framework. One is systemic constraint, that is about bureaucratic formalism, bureaucracy. Even if there are macro-level policies, the implementing agency, the administration, is too overt. They are simply not willing to accommodate the street traders into their as a partners or as an important stakeholders. So there are systemic issues again in the way the local administration functions. There has lots of disconnect. These issues becomes further critical in case of street traders, because this is not an issue of administrative priority. Irrespective of all the policy development on ground, the issue the attitude towards the sector remains the same. So then there are, in such developing society, what happens in case of donor funding, where funds come, there are newer routes to corruption, because the local administration is in a very weak technical state. What happens, the consultant who is implementing the project is actually able to manipulate with the objectives, and all the bureaucracy does is to do fault finding, to assert their position by doing, unnecessarily stalking the projects. So in turn, the consultant, what does they do? They offer rent seeking, and they, on the basis of which they get the approvals, and the project continues irrespective of the any developments that might have, irrespective of the performance of the project. Then there is an interface between donor and donor, because this was a donor-funded project. So interface between donors and state government and consultant, the donor agencies are quite, they make quite a distance vis-a-vis their use of their fund at the level of community. They are usually preoccupied with targets and indicators, which is not going to help to change the reality. So ultimately what happens, there's no accountability, no follow-up, and things just collapse. So, and what happens, because of the disconnect between the different government departments, while one department is implementing the project, the other department, which is the district administration, is entering into forceful evictions of the same beneficiaries which are targeted under the projects. So there is a loss of community trust in the project, on the government intent. It is very difficult to revive that again and again, because there are contradictory moves on the part of the administration, because there is no convergence on their values or their approach towards street trade. So then there are issues of land. Who will spare land for street traders? Because they have been easy victims of all the urban cleaning and decongestion processes, and competition for land use is a major issue between builders and other stakeholders. So there is a need to get into a credible and sustainable process to deal with the issue of land. Because, as I said, they work from public places. So unless the issue of land is taken care of, which is very difficult, because the urban planning is in shambles, and mostly dominated by a neoliberal agenda of a beautified city. So in which street traders find very little space for them. So then there are challenges of engaging the street traders, because the SSE framework bestows lots of responsibility on traders themselves. Are they prepared? Usually what happens, they go by immediate benefit or direct benefits to their livelihood issues. So it's very difficult to prepare them to assume the responsibility that SSE framework gives on them. Also, there is the relationship between there's a gap between bureaucracy and the street traders. They have been anti so far in the process of mobilizing advocacy. So it's very difficult to create a partnership, which would be required if we try to operationalize the SSE framework. Same is the thing with civil society. The civil society has been instrumental to mobilizing the street trade. It has, you know, demonstrated, it has entered into large-scale advocacy activities and invited the wrath of administration. So suddenly, because of its community outreach, the administration needs to rely on civil society to operationalize the framework. But the thing is that it's very difficult because the administration treats them as, you know, some nuisance which has always been creating problems for the state rather than cooperating. So, and also there are opportunism among local civil society leaders. They have their own aspirations because they have had a long, you know, long drawn hold over the street traders. Now, if we organize something like a SSC framework, or if we operationalize the framework, they will lose their hold and they have influence. Now, when we operationalize, they want to extract certain benefits to influence their hold. So if their informal influence is countered, if challenged, they resist the project, they resist the framework, and if or they support in on the in exchange of an expectation of certain gains. Yeah, so I'm done. So it's just the some final things that it's like SSC has a potential because the both the market and the state have been unable to provide occupation exclusion, but the alternate economy idea of alternate economy doesn't mean, you know, you have to go against the state or the market. It's just to increase ability to bargain better vis-a-vis the other two dominant parties when it comes to competing uses of resources. So of course, to address the systemic issue, radical restructuring is important of the bureaucratic, and urban land reform and land use planning is as important. Engaging the stakeholders is critical, and which is as difficult as we have seen through the experience of during the project implementation. And whenever it is applicable, probably the donor body needs to be more proactive on the way to examine the way its fund is being utilized. So that's all from my side. Thank you so much for all your attention.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.